It's Thursday, July 1st, 2021. I'm Veronica Aiello, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. This morning, as the Trump Organization CFO, Alan Weisselberg, was being charged with multiple counts of tax fraud, the company put out a statement saying that Weisselberg has worked for the organization for 48 years, which is going to make it really awkward when Trump refers to him as nothing more than the coffee boy. Joe and Jill Biden visited Surfside, Florida today to meet with the survivors and first responders dealing with the collapsed condo disaster. This marks the first time in 4 years that a U.S. president went to Florida to deal with the tragedy and not to hide from one they created. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 vote, said that Arizona's restrictive new voting laws do not infringe on Arizona's ability to vote. Upon hearing the ruling, Arizona Republicans promised to try harder next time. Former George W. Bush Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has died at the age of 88. Rumsfeld will be best remembered as one of the key architects of the Iraq War, which in hindsight is pretty much as prestigious as being a key architect of the condo in Surfside. Republican leader, and I'm using that term loosely, Kevin McCarthy says he is putting Trump bootlicker Devin Nunes in charge of finding out if NSA is investigating Fox News' Tucker Carlson. We think this is a great idea because if you're looking to get to the bottom of something, there's no one more at the bottom than Devin Nunes. United Airlines announced that they're buying 270 new planes this week. It's the largest purchase from any airline carrier in the past decade and will create thousands of new jobs and at least 270 new flights no one will be happy to have taken on United. The World Health Organization has announced that China has officially eradicated malaria. This should free up a lot of time for China's scientists to create a new horrible disease to try and kill us all with. Tuition for Yale Drama School is now $0 after music mogul David Geffen donated $150 million to the school. Fortunately, this generous donation means that Yale's actors won't have to start their career waiting tables until after graduation. This morning, Meghan McCain announced that she will be leaving The View at the end of the season in July. Fans of Meghan should not worry about her future, considering that anyone with the amount of experience her dad had should be able to get another TV job in no problem. After seeing her request to have her conservatorship ended yesterday, Britney Spears was invited to speak before Congress today by Matt Gaetz. Sorry, Matt, you're probably going to have to get someone from the cast of Riverdale to appear if you want to impress the kind of girls you like to date. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily Cast and Crew Roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
I just want to say that I'm really thrilled that the Manhattan District Attorney is earning their pay this week. And I also want to say we were the first to break the story because I read it before they even showed it on CNN or any of the other networks last night.
So we were like the original break.
I wish we'd had the TMI exclusives out.
Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the long 3-day weekend because I got a new power tool toy. I can't wait to use it forever. And then not really, probably just finish put together a desk and then I'm good. Chris. Drill, baby, drill.
Only a few people get that reference.
It's an old reference. Real ones know. Real ones get it.
Yeah, the real ones. What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. We are here. We are present, and we are accounted for.
Dan. Are we?
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. Like I said yesterday, today's Blink 182 day because it's the 182nd day of the year. It's also National Chicken Wing Day, so got to give props to Buffalo Wild Wings with the Asian Zing. Favorite flavor, hands down.
Yeah.
And props to our Canadian viewers because it's Canada Day. So thank
you. A quarter of me. My grandpa's from Canada.
Cam.
Oh, hi. I'm Cameron. Move this along, all this hot, dry weather. I've got some gender reveal parties to get to.
I hope it's like the one that they just showed with the wrestlers. Did you see that?
That was actually
cute. That's the only one I would totally like to go to.
Because it didn't involve like an incendiary device.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous, but I loved it. Stuart.
How's it going, everybody?
Okay, so we're going to move it along for Cam. So tonight is our final show before our summer break. And we thought that since it's also the beginning of Independence Day holiday weekend, we devote tonight completely to the summer. So let's get started. The great thing about summer is that it usually gives people more time to enjoy reading, going to the movies, and listening to music. So how about if we try and give you some of our picks for things to see, watch, and listen to? So let's start with summer reading. When we were kids, we were all assigned books to read over the summer. Thankfully, now we do it because we want to. So can any of you give the audience some suggestions of books to read this summer? Let's start with you, Stuart.
In terms of fiction, I would recommend Pray for the Innocent. It is a thriller award winner, and it is by my dad. He wrote it. It's very good. Excellent. You all should read it. It's like anywhere you can buy books. And nonfiction, I would recommend The Undoing Project by Michael Lewis.
Mm-hmm, okay. Well, congratulate your dad for us. That's great.
Mm-hmm. How come we have him as a guest?
I don't want my dad on the show. Are you kidding me?
It's terrible.
Elizabeth, what do you recommend?
Well, I'm a little behind on my reading this year, but I have some good ones that I read throughout last year that are good for summer. One of them, first of all, is a book called Daisy Jones and the Six. And it's like an oral history, like written out like an oral history of a, you know, fictitious 70s rock band, but it's very well done. It's totally believable and very detailed, but things are slightly different just because everybody remembers things differently. So it's sort of like the power of memory and influence of memory and whatnot. And it's really detailed in the creative process of creating rock music and songs. It's very, very interesting that way. So it's also, I guess, getting adapted into a TV show at some point, but very good. I also enjoyed Devolution, which we talked about when I geeked out with my new best friend, Bryce Johnson from Expedition Bigfoot. It's actually an excellent, excellent book. And then I also really enjoyed, I like these thrillers by an author called Riley Sager, and they're all just really kind of catchy, zippy, beach read type thrillers. One is called The Last Time I Lied. It's set at a summer camp, and girls go missing at a summer camp. There's one called The Final Girls, about kind of influenced by horror movie stuff. Very, very fun reads all around, and the thrillers are real page turners, so you're like, what happens next? What happens next? You just plow through them.
Okay. Pete, what do you recommend?
Well, firstly, speaking of nonfiction, there's going to be about 42 books about the last year and the way the Trump administration handled it. And I know a lot of people kind of want to forget the last year, but when you read some of the stuff that's coming out as far as excerpts from these books, they sound like must reads. I mean, you know, him threatening generals. I mean, his daughter telling people, him to gas the people in the park. Like, it sounds like a good read. But as far as fiction, there's a book that's been out for like a year now that I've been wanting to get around to reading, and hopefully now I'll get to read it. It's called The Big Goodbye. And I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but it's partial fact, but also mixed with some fiction about the time around when Chinatown was being made here in Hollywood. And so it kind of like, it goes into a lot of the politics of how the studio system was ending and how the studios were all kind of losing money and trying to figure out what they were going to do to save themselves. And there's Chinatown in the middle of all this while it's being made. So that's something I'm really looking forward to reading.
Okay, Danny.
One thing I definitely read over and over, especially during the summertime, is The Four Agreements. It's a practical guide to personal freedom. It's a self-help book by best-selling author Don Miguel Ruiz. And the book offers a code of conduct claiming to be based on an ancient Toltec wisdom that advocates freedom from self-limiting beliefs that may cause suffering and limitation in a person's life. It's really easy to read. It's fun. It makes you think about what you're doing with your life and the things and people around you. And it's always good to kind of recharge, you know, your soul, your mind. And yeah.
And I think Cam is holding it up. He actually has the book.
It's the cornerstone of any good program of recovery.
Mm-hmm. And
Barack Obama's book. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not just a laptop holder.
If I may, real quick, as you are looking for things to read during the summer, I highly, highly recommend the Libby app. It gets you, if you have a local library card, you could use that. If you don't, it gives you a local library card, and you can download books from your local library to your phone, iPad, whatever you want to download them on. And that's how I've actually, you know, it saves money, obviously, but you also read a ton more books. It's a great little app. Highly, highly recommend it.
You know, and now that you mentioned that, it's so easy to get a library card too here in Hampton County. So, and it gives you all these, you know, benefits too.
Use your local library.
Cameron, did you want to recommend another book?
You know, I love the Lee Child Soul Jack Reacher series. Harlan Coben books are always good. Every year I reread James Clavell's Taipan. And it'll be a couple years, but I'm looking forward to reading Johnny Tremaine with my nephew.
Ooh, okay. Chris, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to recommend, like, especially if you were talking, like, summertime reading. I think great summertime reading is pretty much anything by John Steinbeck. I just personally just read The Grapes of Wrath for the first time, and it was one of the best books I enjoyed reading, like, especially while on set, waiting between shots. And, of course, you know, the age-old classic, good American classic, Mice and Men. It's always a good read if you're looking for something. Even if you've read it before, read it again. It's always great.
I like to put a towel out in the park and pick up In Dubious Battle myself.
Good one.
So the summer is awesome. The summer is usually the time when studios put out their biggest box office hopefuls. This summer might be a little different because of the pandemic. So let's do this. Tell us one or more movie that has yet to be released that you are looking forward to seeing this summer, and at least one movie that you think makes for great summer watching. So can you guys tell me a movie that you're excited to see or you're looking forward to seeing first? Pete, which one?
Okay, I have a couple of movies. I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing Jungle Cruise. I don't know why, but it just kind of looks like a fun, silly, old-time, like, adventure movie, you know, done by Disney, so there won't be a lot of the F-word in it. But I'm really, really, really looking forward to Suicide Squad and Candyman especially. Candyman's the one I can't wait to see when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Elizabeth?
Yeah, I forgot Candyman. I thought Candyman was coming out closer to Halloween, but you're right, it is coming out this summer, so I'm dying to see that one. It looks so, so good. And they've put, if you haven't seen the trailer they put out last year when they had to delay the movie, but it's just a paper animation trailer. It is super powerful. It may not seem directly tied to the movie, but it really, really is. It's really well done. Like, I was hooked, no pun intended, instantly. Black Widow's coming out, which I didn't think I'd like. I got a chance to see it early, and I really actually enjoyed it. And I'm not a huge action person, and I'm not a huge Scarlett Johansson person, but I really had a good fun time. So if you could see that safely in a theater, if you so choose, or I think it's coming to Disney Plus as well.
Yeah, same time.
Yeah. So either or, whatever floats your boat. And then something that's coming to Hulu that has technically already been out, but it's going to be a little more accessible that I'm excited for everybody to hopefully see is Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. It was so fucking funny. When I rented it off Amazon, I watched it like 2 times in the same weekend. I got my money's worth. That movie's hilarious. It's so good. And I can't wait for it to get to Hulu for hopefully people to see it. Because I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to pay for the rental. But now
that it's on Hulu. Is it Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo?
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah,
I definitely want to catch Black Widow. Definitely want to actually want to see the Jungle Cruise, just because it is one of my favorite attractions, and I kind of want to see what they do with it. But the one that I want to see that's on Netflix right now is with Liam Neeson, The Ice Road. I've heard very good things about it, and it seems interesting. I mean, it's Liam Neeson. You know it's going to be good.
It's interesting, yes.
Mm-hmm. Pete.
You know, I totally forgot, since we're talking about some of the streaming services, Netflix made a trio of horror films that are coming out. The first part is coming out this summer. The series is called Fear Street.
Yeah.
And what I think is really cool about it is they took three different eras of horror films, and they're making films that emulate that era. And so the first one that's coming out is 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's coming out next month. And I'm thrilled to see it, because anything that's like a throwback to like a cheesy 90s or 80s horror film can't go wrong in my book.
I'm excited for those. I've heard people really like, I think some reviewers or something have seen them early, and the like talk about just like extremely my shit, as the kids no longer say. But yes.
Those kids.
I'm looking forward to the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, Old.
I think it's
in July too, so that one I'm really excited to see as well. Okay, so final picks question. Every summer we talk about the songs of the summer. Since we're all known for having our finger on the pulse of what the kids today are listening to, give us something fairly new you think the audience should be taking a listen to, and at least one song or album that you won't go all summer without listening to. I'm terrible at this. I don't know any contemporary music. Let's start with DaBaby, a number one fan, Danny.
Well, John Mayer's coming up with a new album this summer, so I'm looking forward to listening to that. And one of my favorite country artists, Chris Young. You know, he also has a summer release coming up, so I definitely want to catch that. You know, it's one of the, you know, many artists I'm starting to really, like, you know, become big fans of in the country genre.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really excited about that John Mayer album. Pete.
Oh, you know, the kids all got me into that Doja Cat. She's got a new album out right now. I actually listened to a few songs from it. It's really, really good. Which kind of, I actually liked some of her songs on the last record. So this wasn't like a big jump for me, but I was excited to see that. And also Ed Sheeran has a record coming on. So that should be good. But, on the other side, for stuff that I probably won't go the whole summer without listening to, when I was a kid, and we used to have a house out in the Hamptons in New York, and it was about an hour and a half drive to the house on a Friday night because of the traffic and everything. And I have this vivid memory of always hearing either Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album or anything by Steely Dan, because that was all my father played for some reason. And so it kind of like ingratiated itself into my mind. So I definitely think I'll be listening to some, well, I've already do, but I'll probably be listening to more Steely Dan and definitely the Rumors album during the summer quite a bit, because it just kind of takes me back to them.
Elizabeth.
Well, it's technically from last year, the album, like I haven't listened to the full album, the Dua Lipa Future Nostalgia, but I'm obsessed with the Levitating song, speaking of DaBaby. because it is so summery fun. When I hear it, I picture people roller skating at like either at like a roller disco or like out in the streets, because it just has that kind of rhythm where it feels like you could roller skate to it. Everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy, but go listen to it. Picture people roller skates, and you'll be there. So because it's got kind of like a disco-y vibe, but modern, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I really enjoying that. And then I am never ever good with music, so I just kind of listen to the same shit over and over. So I don't really have any good recommendations for people in that regard. Sorry.
See, for me, I'm really gonna like sound like an old person right now, but for me, yacht rock. Anything that's yacht rock equals summer music to me. So I love yacht rock, and I'm like, it can't be summer without some yacht rock.
I still think that white people should stand up every time the song Sailing comes on. It's almost like a national salute.
Peter, 20 years ago when I saw Styx, Foreigner, and Journey in concert together.
Oh, that's a show.
Wow.
That's a show.
Styx opened, closed, and encored with Sail Away. And we loved it.
Couldn't get enough.
Well, I know one of the albums I always listen to during the summer too, in its entirety, is Justified. I think it's a great, one of my favorite albums, hands down, by JT, and Rock Your Body, such a summer song. And if you're at the beach and just want to mellow out, can't go wrong with Folklore by T-Swizzle. But I listen to a lot of 80s music and a lot of salsa music during the summer as well.
Okay.
Party time.
So we're going to be off for at least the next 6 weeks. And since so much of our audience gets their latest news from TMI Daily, we thought that it might be fun for each of us to make one prediction of something that is going to happen between now and the end of August that will make news. Once we come back, we'll see if any of our predictions came true. So I want to start with this one. I feel that the mask mandate is going to be back in place between now and August. So that's my prediction. Who wants to go next? Elizabeth, what's your prediction?
Well, I believe the storm will finally start, right? Where the thing we've all been waiting for Q, that's going to kick that's going to kick off. I got a good feeling.
You think so? You think so?
Where we go one, we go all.
Yeah. Because everybody fucking saw White Squall, those fucking lunatics. Didn't know that was from that fucking movie.
So now, you know what? I have to disagree with Elizabeth because...
No! I can't imagine why.
I think that Q has disappointed so many people. And what's going to happen is when August rolls around and Trump isn't reinstated, they're going to move on from Q straight to R. I think R is going to take over, and R is going to be a whole different entity. He's going to have a little sardonic wit to him. you'll even liberals will kind of like him because he says everything with a wink and a smile. So that might be good. But I also think that that what's going to happen is that like the COVID cases are going to drop so much because of the summer that all the people that didn't get vaccinated are going to come out and start cheering about how smart they were. And then around September 15th, they're all start dropping dead. So I think that's probably what we're looking forward to.
Okay. Danny, what do you think is going to happen?
Joining the cast of Dancing with the Stars, Meghan McCain.
Good call. That's Fox News. Or both.
Or someone, one of the Trump children.
No way. They would never put them on.
It's too liberal still.
One of them wouldn't pass the drug test.
Or even Bill Cosby.
That's not happening.
That would get ratings, though.
It would. I think he can physically dance. Like, he's pretty old.
He's like
83. Yeah. That hasn't stopped some people.
Chris Leachman on there, and she's old.
Chris Leachman was on there, exactly.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Queen.
You know what? I hate to say it, though, when Stewart says something's pretty old after the last couple of days.
His barometer for old is way off.
There are different levels of old.
I'm going to drag your ass to that M. Night Shyamalan movie, young man, and show you what old is.
Cam, prediction.
I predict that Marjorie Taylor Greene will, with a poor misunderstanding of what filibuster means, although many of them seem to, will attempt to interrupt many times the new January 6th Select Committee by doing really shitty CrossFit exercises in the Capitol. Also, but speaking of another prediction that I'm going to be just fine no matter what happens with Peter's COVID prediction, because the Pfizer clinical trial continues apace, and next week I'm getting a booster.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Yeah. Awesome. Next Friday.
They're trying
out the boosters now.
Have you lost effectiveness, do you know, or antibodies?
Just in life, not really with the vaccine.
Yeah.
But but the vaccine, you don't need a booster. They're just testing them, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And Stuart.
I think there's going to be the largest wildfires in the history, in recorded history.
Yeah, Stuart's 100% right.
Yeah,
we're going to be... We're going to be breathing smoke for a long time.
If you were upstairs at our house today, you would have thought you were in a wildfire. So, yeah, the heat is terrible.
What did you burn?
Huh? No, it's just the heat. The heat upstairs.
Hot here.
Go ahead, Chris.
Here's actually a prediction, and I truly think it's going to be real. And I'm with you on the mask mandate. We're definitely going to be going back to that very soon. But I think that there is going to be a major actor running for some kind of political office. 100%, because the energy's out there, and a lot of these motherfuckers are really feeling themselves, and they're really feeling like they're activists, and they really feel like they can change the world. And somebody's going to go beyond just like social media, and they're actually going to put forth. And I'm not talking Bruce Jenner. I'm talking like The Rock or some show, somebody like that. Somebody like really famous is going to try to run for office for something, and it's going to be ridiculous.
Well, I think he's going to have to wait to see how Jungle Cruise does first. I
mean, yeah, honestly, that's my thing.
Nah, he's going to do it before Jungle Cruise. He's going to do it way before Jungle Cruise.
A couple days before
he
comes
does
out,
it during the press. He does it during the press tour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Press tour slash fucking campaign.
Danny.
Woodland Hills couple nabs male thieves.
Oh, let's hope so.
Awarded Nobel Peace Prize.
We're going to start going junior crime fighters starting next week since we have some free time.
I'm ready to go senior crime fighters. I'm still upset about what happened to me. But anyway. Okay, so for the second summer in a row, the world is still dealing with COVID-19. That being said, so much of our country is opened up now. And we all have the chance to do things we definitely couldn't or shouldn't have done last year. Can each of us pick a few things that you hope to do this summer that you didn't get to do last year, or maybe things you've never done that you're looking forward to doing this year? Let's start with you, Cameron.
Well, both to both, because Live Theater's back, baby, and I'm currently in rehearsals to play Petruchio, crossing that off my Shakespeare bucket list. I'm playing Petruchio in Taming of the Shrew at Mammoth Lakes Repertory Theater, August 12th through the 29th.
Awesome.
That's
lovely,
that time of year.
Piggybacking on him, I'd like to finally go see Hamilton this summer, you know, once it opens, and go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I've made Vegas plans with a friend for August. I've been to Vegas before, but I'm just not a big Vegas partier person. Luckily, the person I'm going with this time is like, we're on a similar wavelength. And for the record, we're going to go see Jim Gaffigan, if that tells you about what our level of partying is. It's zero.
Yeah, your Vegas experience can't be any worse than when I went with TMI people to Vegas.
Well, I did have a tour. You could ask a different friend. I went with her for her birthday, and I'm very much a lightweight drinker. I don't like to drink a ton, but I, for whatever reason, really thought I was going to keep pace with her that weekend. On the first day, and wanted to die, and threw up, and had a horrible time. So much so, the second night we saw Britney Spears, and then her and the other friend were getting ready to like go out after it, and I was like tucking myself into bed. I was like, "I'll see you, crazy kids, later. Go watch this true crime documentary and go to bed at 9."
At least Joe didn't try to figure out how to get somebody to split a hooker with him while he was with you.
No, thank goodness. That's nice that didn't.
And what happens in Vegas? It really did happen.
You're probably not going to go to a place to like a club / bar where a cop's going to come over to your friends and say, "Hey guys, you know the wall doesn't have to be held up like that," because they literally stood on the fucking wall the whole night by themselves.
No, that happens
in Vegas.
Don't ever go with writers to Las Vegas.
But actually, speaking of theater, so I'm excited to see hopefully live theater stuff again. I have tickets for Marc Maron in July, which I'm really excited about. And then I mentioned it yesterday, but it's more of an end of the summer trip, like into Labor Day. But I'm really planning my San Francisco trip. I'm making it happen. Go see the Alcatraz. I hope I get Vicky the tour guide. I'm not kidding. People are like, "Well, why do you want to go to San Francisco so bad?" I'm like, "Did you ever see So I Married an Axe Murderer? It just made San Francisco seem really appealing to 7-year-old Elizabeth, and it's been stuck in her head ever since." So those are my summer plans.
Great.
It's not a summer event that I'm going to get to do, but I still count it as something that I didn't get to do last year. I'm actually making my dad come out here to visit me instead of me going home. And he is 60 years old, and he has never been on a plane, and it's going to be hilarious. I wish somebody could take a camcorder and record him, because my dad has recently become afraid of heights. So that is something that I wish I could see. But I'm making him come to L.A. for his birthday in September. So
does
I know it's not summer,
drink,
but...
Chris, does he drink? Say
what?
Does
no, he doesn't.
I was going to say, because you can always have a drink at the bar before you get on the plane.
He might. He does a beer from now some time to time. So, you know, maybe he might have a little something.
Have a gift for him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Send him some CBD gummies.
My dad's a cop. He wouldn't touch that. Even if it is legal. Yeah, my dad's a cop, man.
Stuart.
I'm hoping to take a road trip up, you know, the coast of California, like the PCH. So I was hoping to do it last summer, but that didn't happen. So hopefully it'll be safe enough for me to do it this summer.
And Pete?
Well, I'm not one of those people who feels like I missed anything in the last year. But if there's maybe one thing I do kind of miss, it's baseball. So the Yankees are coming to Angel Stadium in August, and usually there's nobody at the Angel Stadium anyway, so I don't feel so bad about going there to watch the games. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And beyond that, I don't know, just hanging around a lot. I mean, one of the good things about kind of taking a little break from not doing this every day is that you really can do other things. Like you don't have to be looking at a clock to say, oh, I got to do something with my day. And then we've got stuff happening at the end of the year that most everybody on our screen knows about, but, you know, we'll talk about when we get closer to it. That's going to be fun to kind of start ramping up towards. So I'm looking forward to that stuff.
Yeah, for me, it's also like just going back to live theater and concerts. But again, testing my, you know, my comfort level. So, you know, like I was talking about the other day, you know, 2 weeks we're going to our first concert, the Foo Fighters, because they have a very strict policy as to who can get in there. Now, I want to go to a Vegas show at the end of August, but I don't know how comfortable I'm going to feel yet. So it's all just kind of taking it day by day. But I am looking forward to going back to theater and live concerts as well. So.
They're saying now that this Delta Plus variant is now over 50% here in Los Angeles. So by the time the end of the summer rolls around, Vegas will be like in that movie Army of the Dead, because there's no way Vegas isn't just going to be floating with all kinds of disease. It always is, but this
is Vegas.
Yeah.
So
you ain't staying in Vegas when you get it there this time. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, you know, just take it a day by day. And I was, you know, supposed to go to Fenway this summer for a concert, but I just don't feel safe enough being in a stadium with so many people, and they're not requiring any vaccinations or, you know, COVID tests. So
what kind of shithead bands wouldn't require that? That kind of thing, Veronica. Whoever that band is.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me started, because it hurts. It hurts. But anyways, okay, well, let's get started. The time that we've all been waiting for, TMI Daily's bracket battle. And tonight we have a battle hot enough for the summer. It's the battle to determine the best summer song ever. So here's how we're doing it. We've taken the biggest selling and highest charting song for each of the last 32 years, randomize the list at random.org and put them head to head to decide what is the best summer song ever. Now, as far as making choices, because we always argue about this, this one is all about the song that you think is the best of the two songs. So it's really your personal choice, right, Pete?
It's whatever criteria you have in your head.
Yeah, like they don't have to be the best song, you know, to listen to at the beach or driving on a summer day. But if
you want it to be, it can be.
But it can be. It doesn't have to be.
And there's seven of us. No tiebreaker.
Oh, good.
Because these were all picked by listeners to be that song in their particular year. So this is all about what you personally like best. Okay.
Before we start, I just want to really quickly. There was two lists that I went off of. And it's interesting because out of 32 years, 30 of those years, the number one song of the summer was also the highest selling song of the summer. The only 2 years did that not happen. And actually, it's the two oldest songs, the song from 1988 and the song from 1989. So those songs actually were like the third highest, third longest songs at number one during the summer, but they were the highest selling songs. So that's why they got in here. So I just wanted to preface everything so we all knew have a list on.
And also, like, I was looking at the list, and then it's funny because it's like, if you had asked me, like, my favorite summer song back in, like, 1990, as opposed to now, there's, like, a huge gap here. So, it's, like, especially with the first two songs. So, I'm going to go with what I like now. So, okay, here we go.
It's not still New Kids on the Block?
I'm telling you, it's a savvy yacht rock. Well, no, you're going to see what I'm talking about in a second. So, the first two songs are Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Big sucks and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. And when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop.
Like, that was my jam back in 1990. Or Blurred Lines by Robin.
Make a good girl.
I know.
Don't play more than 10 seconds. You have to pay the estate of Marvin Gaye.
What rhymes with huggy?
Okay, so who votes for Baby Got Back?
I never liked that song. I don't know why.
Why did you like it back in the day?
I have a weird soft spot for Blurred Lines. I know it's trash. I know it promotes bad messages.
It's a rape song. The song never raped anyone.
I don't know. I had a when I was around.
I mean, it was so catchy.
Like, okay with it.
Everyone was trying to figure out.
It's kind of so catchy.
With Huggy.
It was just so catchy because it's actually a Marvin Gaye song at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I understand the cultural like relevance of Baby Got Back, but that it's been like that been around for so long and still has people that love the song. I never liked it. I just always thought it was a stupid song.
Wait, was that the
both very misogynistic, and so I don't like either.
Yeah, and
Peter, stupid songs are inherently summer songs.
Yeah.
Wait,
I don't know if Baby Got Back is misogynistic. That's a little.
Yeah, I don't know.
Blurred Lines is for sure.
Blurred Lines.
Baby Got Back is just Baby Got Back. He's just talking about how he likes.
He's admiring.
He's not saying that like they're disgusting for it or like they should go work out. Oh. He's just saying that
The only women who find it misogynistic do not have asses themselves.
That's it. Yeah, it may not be all inclusive, but it's definitely not misogynist.
Okay, so let's
and I just said that now on the internet where it will live for history.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, guys, I'm no longer playing Petruchio in August.
What happened?
I got canceled.
Oh,
yeah, see, I feel like it's in keeping with the character, so I don't know why they would let you go.
You guys, let's go. Who votes for Baby Got Back? Okay, who votes for Blurred Lines? Three of us. So Baby Got Back it is.
Baby Got Back.
I know you want it.
I will not vote for the lesser thick.
Wait, matter of fact, I know that song is way more misogynistic than Baby Got Back because there's an unrated version where all the girls are topless in the whole video.
Yeah.
If that's not misogyny, how dare you?
They're both very misogynistic. Come on.
Now,
I can't believe Alan Thicke raised Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. Despacito by Luis Fonsi and is it Daddy Yankee? Now, is this the
and Justin Bieber. This is the Justin
Bieber. This is the Justin Bieber
because I don't have none of it.
Got it.
Despacito. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído. Para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito. Quiero desnudarte a besos despacito.
Or Maria Maria by Santana.
Maria Maria. She reminds me of a West Side Story. Growing up in Spanish Harlem. She lived in the.
Okay, so who votes for Despacito?
Both songs have a great Latin vibe to them, but Despacito, That's I remember seeing a video of Justin Bieber trying to remember the Spanish lines.
Yeah, he couldn't.
On stage, and he clearly proved just how white Canadian he was. But I think that kind of explains why that song's so popular, because it doesn't matter how white you are, you will try to learn those lyrics just so you don't seem like you're not that white.
Yeah, it's a great song. Okay, so we had four, and then who voted for Maria Maria? Three? Okay, I'm just confirming. And just so you know, the two Latinos on the panel voted for Despacito.
Yes, the two Latinos voted for Justin Bieber. Yes, it's clear.
No, Maria is one of my top 10, but Despacito, we heard it in the summer in Hawaii.
What was the 1988 song? I mean, I know Despacito wasn't. I don't know the Santana one.
Okay, wow. The next song. That's the Way Love Goes by Justin. Or In My Feelings by Drake.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always. KB, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never.
I just want to point out multiple people all kind of grimaced during
that. It's
like,
too clingy.
No,
it's not a summer vibe to that.
I also don't like the song.
We did have a really great and funny sketch with this song. It was very funny.
The summer of 93 rocked with that Janet
song. When you hear the Janet Jackson song, and again, like we don't have to use the summer as like a guiding line for whether the song's better than the other songs, but like I can almost imagine like driving on a long summer, like on a long road evening with that song playing, or like at the beach with the fire and everything with that song playing. But when I hear in my feelings, I see a bunch of people shitty dancing on Instagram. I just that's my first thought when I think of that song. I mean, it's a good song.
Do this. So let's go like this. Who votes for In My Feelings by Drake? Just out of curiosity. Okay, that's what I thought.
Oh, I gotta go. I got one for me. I'm sorry, Drake is the king of summer. I'm sorry. So he's automatically a summer hit.
Not my king.
He's king of summer, bro. King of summer hits.
I'm hoping you have the kings.
Name the biggest hits of summer for the last 10 years, and I guarantee you Drake's name is attached to at least one of them for the last 10 years.
He's attached to two of them.
The last 10 years, he's been attached to every summer banger, at least one. Facts.
Okay, so That's the Way Love Goes moves on. Sorry, Chris.
That's fair. No, it's fine. I'll take that. It's fine. Janet Jackson. I can't even.
Now, just so we know, for Stewart's sake, these are the oldest two songs coming up. Straight enough, they got picked together one after the other. So these are the two oldest songs on the list, 1989 and 1990.
And just so you all know, this is also going to determine how many of you are going to stay friends with me or not. Step by step, my new kids on the block.
No, that song is trash, B. That song is absolute hot garb.
Oh, you're gonna get kicked off the panel?
I don't care.
Chris is invited to the
recording. That's trash. I would stop being a New Kids on the Block if that song came out. If I was a fan and that song came out, I would stop.
Or Forever Your Girl by Paula Abdul. Okay, so I have to say, Paula Abdul has some great, great songs, but I never thought she knew how to sing. I'm sorry.
That's weird though, right? Yeah, she's had like mad hits.
Great
but, like,
music,
she
though.
Can't sing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who votes for Step by Step?
You got to go with Step by Step. You know what? I have a love-hate relationship with them because of Veronica. And this is about as close to a perfect pop song as you're going to get. And the reason why is the whole entire chorus lasts in that 15 seconds. There's no need for anything else. Like, they simplified the chorus down to, literally the whole hook is right there. Like, I didn't have to cut a second off of the hook.
I have to agree because I'm a big Paula Abdul fan.
What are we trying to decide here? Just the best pop song really versus one other pop song or best summer song.
It's your choice.
Yes, our choice.
But it's new rule. Says best summer.
It was high
song
school
ever.
Back then, and everybody was into Step by Step.
Reductive. I mean,
Okay, so again. Okay,
so let's do the vote again. Who votes for Step by Step? So only three of them. Stuart.
Look at Stuart. Oh,
so I don't know either of the songs. But from Eclipse, Step by Step, while not great, sounded better than whatever that Paul Abdul song was.
Oh, thank you. Bro, thank
also,
you
I don't like Paul Abdul. It's like a personal thing, so.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, so wait. You didn't know either of those two songs. So if anybody had 89 or 90 in the pool yesterday.
Right.
They lost.
So essentially, you are the Marjorie Taylor Greene of the best summer song ever.
What? Whoa.
You're voting on issues you have no understanding of, yet still, like, hey, I'm part of the process.
Okay. I heard the clips from both of the songs.
I picked one of the
objectives. I picked
the one I liked the best. Like I said, also, I also don't like Paula Abdul.
He did the best he could with the information he had.
Straight up. You know what? That's all I wanted to hear. I wanted you to say I don't like Paul. I just wanted to hear Stuart.
Okay, the next trust me, Step by Step isn't going to get further than this. Okay, next one, Waterfalls by TLC.
And waterfalls, please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. I know that you're gonna have it your way or nothing at all.
Or California Girls by Katie. Mm-hmm.
God, Jesus.
I've been envueltos todos.
California Girls were unforgettable. Daisy Dukes, bikinis on top. Sun-kissed skin so hot. Familiar your pops.
If you don't vote for Waterfalls, you're anti-black. That's all I'm saying right now. That's all
I just want to say.
Compared to Katy Perry, if you don't vote for Waterfalls, you don't like black people. I'm saying it.
No, but it's not a great song.
It's a
summer song.
Drug addiction.
You know, Snoop Dogg is on California Girls.
Order, decorum, gentlemen. Decorum.
I've lost control.
I just want to say that any Katy Perry song is sung and was sung better by the entire Glee cast. Katy Perry's trash.
No.
You're out of your mind, Dave.
Trash buckets, folks.
Waterfalls. I'm with Chris.
But yeah. If you want one of the best songs about helping a friend with drug addiction, Waterfalls. The California Girls song is, by definition, a summer song.
That's a summer song.
If we're going with what the Chiron on our damn screen says, best summer song.
Mm-hmm. I'm with Cam on this.
I love waterfalls.
I do not think of summer when I think of waterfalls. I actually think of cold, harsh winter.
Waterfalls in Hawaii.
Could be a summer song if you're like technically on a cruise on like your 10th pina colada.
You're like, you know what?
Oh, wait, maybe I just like
Veronica,
you have a backyard.
Veronica, if you have to qualify, then you've lost the argument.
You have a backyard barbecue with a karaoke night. And one of the songs that's going to be sung that night is Waterfalls.
No, it's not.
Katy Perry had a fireworks bikini in the video. That's summer.
And she had Snoop on the one version.
See, if we're going purely by summer songs, then Cameron is 100% right. California Girls.
That's what the category is.
If we're going by like our personal favorite of which song is better, I mean, Waterfalls is a classic. And California Girls is just a great pop.
You know what? But I'm also going to go back to what I'm saying. Everybody's experience of summer songs could be different.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's vote. Who votes for Waterfalls?
Oh. Wow, it won!
Grim summer.
I was almost convinced to go to Katy Perry on that one, but I just...
Look, that song came out when I was like maybe middle school, and that was like a good summer song. That was like right in my...
For 2 seconds, I thought you meant Waterfalls, and then I realized, no, you don't mean Waterfalls.
No, I'm going...
He was a fetus when Waterfalls came out.
I think he was a twinkle in the old man's eye when Waterfalls came out.
When did Waterfalls come out?
Was it 95, 96?
I think it was...
I think before it was...
95. I was the senior. Yeah.
95, 96.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were a twinkle, a dream in your parents' mind.
Doing okay, that ball
next song. The Boy Is Mine by Brandy.
And Monica.
And Monica, yeah.
This is a, sorry, that's a Christmas song to me.
Shut up.
That's about this about two girls who found out to date the same guy because they both went to buy him the same boombox at down at the Best Buy.
Now, why isn't there a boombox, you fucking racist?
I was going to say socks.
Because I'm going with the timeline.
I mean, in the 90s, it probably would have been a boombox, let's be honest. It probably would have been a boombox. Yeah. I don't hold you on that one.
Because I can make the video in my head.
Okay.
Or Crazy in Love by Beyonce. Yeah.
And Jay-Z. All
right, so yeah, but that's the summer song.
I'll just say that
Summer Jams 2004.
Yeah.
Summer of 97, I think the Brandy Monica song was number one the entire summer.
Yeah.
Moving stuff to CSUN, it was just like everywhere on campus. You know, everybody was listening to that. So that is a great song. It's a slow song, but it's a great summer song, hands down.
See, but I'll go like this. I mean, as much as I hate to admit it sometimes, Beyonce and Jay-Z are obviously two of our most talented and famous pop hip hop artists, and Crazy in Love is probably about the height of both of their abilities. I mean, musically, both of them are probably about as good as they were ever going to be at any other point in time. I mean, you know, Jay-Z guested on a lot of songs by a lot of artists. This is probably the best featured place he ever put into a song.
He uses the word chinchilla.
Wait, why does it hurt you to say that?
And it's just the samples in the song are just so, I mean, like, this song is one of those songs that just, like, the second you hear it, you know exactly what it is, mm-hmm. and you're like, yeah, this is a great song. So I have to go Crazy in Love, me personally.
Yeah, as much as I dislike Beyonce, I'm going to have to go with that one, too. So let's vote. Who votes for The Boy Is Mine? Okay, and so I guess Beyonce moves forward.
I do like that song.
She wins, as always.
The Beyoncés have it.
Well, yeah, Danny, this has never been an issue of like, oh, I just don't like that. Well, actually, anything with Justin Bieber, no, thank you. But these are all good songs.
No, I do like the Crazy in Love song. It's one of the best songs. But I just remember that with The Boy Is Mine was very, you know, out there that summer.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to look at it like this, though. Like, if you play each song at a party, low key, like, only a certain demographic is going to be like really pumped up about The Boy Is Mine being played. But you play Crazy in Love, probably going to get the entire party into it. You know what I mean?
And those horns start and it's
The Boy Is Mine starts fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. Somebody might have like some PTSD from a time before. It might start getting going.
Did anyone watch a Black Lady sketch show this season? Because they had a whole, like, black girl debates and like a high school debate club, and they're like, and therefore, as you can see, the boy was clearly Brandy's counterpoint. This was really well done.
Yeah, really. At the end of that song, shouldn't they just be allies? Because aren't they both the victim?
Exactly. This was the 90s, though, and they did not tell girls that at all.
No,
It was the girl's fault every time.
Okay, let's move on.
I have somewhere to be soon.
Yeah, this is a big bracket.
So it's Rockstar by DaBaby.
Brand new Lamborghini, fuck a cop car. Put a pistol on my hip like I'm a cop. Yeah. Have you ever met a real nigga rock star? This ain't no guitar, bitch, this a clock.
This might kill me.
My Glock don't need a promise, you gon' squeeze me. You better let me go the day you need me.
Or Bad Blood by Taylor Swift.
Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got problems. And I don't think we...
Yeah, well, only
that video broke the charts. Okay.
I'm going to be like, your word on this one, I haven't heard either one of these songs, so I'm just going to go based on what I just heard.
See, I'm going to say that and I'm going to qualify this ahead of time. Taylor Swift is very talented. This isn't even one of her 10 best songs.
No,
it's a minor hit, and at best, it's the hit based off of whoever pissed her off right before
it
she
was
won.
Katy Perry.
And the
so we gotta sit here and fucking listen to her complain about Katy Perry.
Yes, I have an extra soft spot for it because I had a blood cancer, and it is very fun to pretend your doctor walked up to you and said, "Baby, now we got bad blood." Hey, that's funny because it's horrifying.
But you know, Kendrick Lamar was also on it, and the video really made that song hot.
Yeah.
And everyone's talking about that video because everyone and their mama gets starred on that video.
Yeah.
So it was all over TV. That's a great, it made the song better.
Mm-hmm. Also, only one of those songs I can sing at karaoke and not get canceled.
Rockstar, surprisingly.
Okay. So, let's vote. Who votes for Rockstar DaBaby? Okay, so Bad Blood moves on then. Okay. Next one, I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry.
Kissed a girl.
All the white people. Hey.
Yeah,
Or Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado.
Oh, that.
Promiscuous girl, whatever you are.
Right now, vote on this.
Remember when she was all like, "I'm like a bird, I'll just fly away," and then she was like, "Fuck me, Timbaland."
Yeah, I know that actually bothered me because I was actually a big fan of Nelly Furtado's first two records. I actually saw her in concert twice, and then she puts out this record, which was clearly like, "I need to buy a nice house so I can be like some like." I don't know, Taylor Swift. So she just kind of gave up all her morals and became a whore for a record.
Okay.
Because every song is about getting fucked. Whole album is about getting fucked. I mean, that's it.
Song still slaps.
It's a great song.
She had a hot summer in 2008. She had three mega hits in the summer of 2008. What's up?
I think this is also the point where we just remind our listeners that Peter Aiello does not represent all of these
songs. Every song on that record, that's serious. Every song on that album, Loose, which is the name of the title of the album, is about getting fucked. I'm telling you, I'm not making that up. I actually was a fan of Nelly Furtado, so I could speak to this. Every song on that record is about somebody banging her. And the worst part about it is she had just had a kid like a year earlier.
Well, how do you think you get one of them?
Every song by Katy Perry is sung better by the classic Lee.
But listen,
I'm sorry you said about the birds and the bees from a Nelly Furtado album. That's on your parents, not
I'm
on
like
us.
A bird.
I think it's that time that we haven't had in a long time, but the opinions of Peter do not reflect.
Shut up. You look it up. Every song on that record is about her getting laid. I promise.
Well, so is like 90% of music anyway.
Okay, guys, we're still on the first song. We got to move on. So, who votes for I Kissed a Girl?
Put your hand down, Stuart.
No, Stuart, it's not what you want to do one day. It's
fuck off.
Jesus.
Who votes for Promiscuous Girl? There you go. Promiscuous Girl moves. Second column. I Swear All for One.
Oh, gosh.
And that's I Swear.
By the moon and the stars and the stars, I'll be there. I Swear.
Or Hot and Burr. By Nelly. Did I say
it's getting hot in here? So take off all your clothes.
I want to start start this argument off really quickly. If All for One had done Hot in Her, they would have just said, you know what? It's really hot in here. Let's put on the air conditioning. Because these are the most milquetoast black men who've ever lived on the face of the earth. And this song, this is like the song that you hear at every wedding for the white couple that'll never have sex.
I associate that song with like winter and Christmas because of that. Just Friends movie.
Right.
Black men, there was only
I was going to be a little less offensive and say that category should be Best Last Dance at your 8th grade mixer. But sure.
you put your little zombie arms up.
Okay, guys, so who votes for I Swear, All for One?
It's okay, a song. It did rule the charts.
Hot best. In Her is moving on.
It has the word hot in it. It's a summer song.
Yeah.
I was going to say hot in here. Okay,
it's her. It's her.
Thank you, Peter.
And her. Okay. Her. Next one. I'll Be Missing You by Puff Daddy.
You like that. Every move I make.
Okay, or Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams.
You know it's true.
Here we go, so much
to talk. This is the worst practice.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, baby. Number 91, here we go.
That was the most animated I saw Cameron during any of the songs. He was like, fuck yeah!
Fuck yeah.
That's the most excited Cameron's been in months.
I just want to add to what I said earlier. Right after everybody gets on the dance floor for I Swear, the DJ says, I've got them out here. Everything I do for you. That's what's coming on right after.
Let me also just point out that the beauty of this time with a song like that is that even if the song had already come out, then when they use it for the movie, they make a whole other music video using the movie itself with then the artist sort of interacting with the movie. It's great. And of course, that was for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
And for reference, that came out in 1991.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that one.
That's the first one I know. Yeah.
I was an eight.
Oh, I think we all lost.
So we all lost because I said 93. I think
yeah,
I was
right. Because that was also a great year for Costner because he had his terrible Robin Hood, but then won an Oscar for Dances with Wolves. So mm-hmm.
See, you know what? But by default, I'm going to go with the Bryan Adams song. But you know what? The thing that I hear that song, I think of is I had this friend years ago who had this big dent in his head. And he was the kind of guy, when he got married to the first woman that would actually touch his genitals, I remember him at his wedding singing, I forgot whatever the fuck the wedding song was, but I remember him singing it in her ear while they were doing their first dance. And I immediately think to myself, everything I do for you is for every guy who doesn't have an emotion of their own. So they think by singing this song, it makes it seem like they actually are able to say how they feel about the person that they're with. So it's like, it's definitely a song for people that are not able to emote. So but I'll go with it anyway.
You know what?
Okay.
That's what I've been missing.
Big dent.
The dent in the head. That is what's missing from my brain.
Big fucked up dent with a blue streak through the middle of it. We used to call him, he wanted to be a cop, we used to call him NYPD Blue Head.
Jesus Christ.
This is
We'll
Be Missing You by Puff Daddy. That was funny, Pete.
I like it. I just don't think of a summer.
Yeah, I liked it better the first time when I heard Sting sing it. So
I miss Biggie as much as anybody, but I really don't see that as a summer.
Yeah, I don't see it as a summer song.
It's kind of sad and depressing, but it's a great song. Who votes for Everything I Do?
Why not?
I do, so Everything I
and
Do.
And also, I want to dispel a rule of something that you all may believe. Puffy was so upset about Biggie dying. 3 days after he died, I went to a club and Puffy was getting thrown out because him and his friends were in the back throwing champagne at people. So he wasn't as fucking upset as you think he was.
How do you know that champagne wasn't thrown?
We all process grief differently,
exactly.
Peter.
Yeah.
Just because you feel nothing, you monster.
Okay,
no, he's right. He didn't feel shit. He was the one that got him killed anyway, so that matters.
That was all about selling records.
Yeah.
Okay, the next song, Lady Marmalade by Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Macarena by the Bayside Boys. Probably one of the most obnoxious songs to ever.
That was one of the worst things that ever happened.
Yeah. But that defines some, because we were doing the Macarena in Doylestown, Ohio.
And in Michigan, right here with you.
No, it's the only two white people around.
Yeah, we're doing the Macarena.
No, you guys, we did. Like, oh yeah, we were doing that. No, yeah,
I didn't say we liked it.
Yeah,
I mean, we're doing it in marching band. We had our instruments.
Okay, yeah. how many people on the screen can do the Macarena? Let's see. Okay.
I do the Macarena like every other week. Like during the when I'm 13, like every bar mitzvah, there's just a Macarena.
I don't know. Like adding too many moves. I actually don't know if I know
it's
anymore.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay, now I got it. To quote Celine Dion, it's all coming back to me now.
I thank God every day that song came out before the internet became a thing, because every non Spanish speaking person would have looked up the lyrics in English and then tried to sing the English version of it.
That's true.
So I'm so glad that never happened.
That is true.
Okay, they missed it by like 3 years.
Okay, so who votes for Lady Marmalade? Okay.
Moulin Rouge was a formative.
You voted for the Macarena?
Yeah.
That's like, you guys, you've never been to you haven't been to enough bar mitzvahs.
Again, Stuart.
I think we've all been to
song,
enough.
Not best bar mitzvah song.
I go to, but there was just a whole summer where I was doing that like every other weekend.
I'm just going to point out that
I'm surprised you haven't gotten laid more. Stuart, can somebody tell me that?
I'm going to point out the two Latinos on the panel did not vote for the Macarena.
No, I saw that. Y'all were very upset that it was even playing.
Is it a good song? No.
Okay, next one. Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy, but here's my number. So call me maybe. It's hard to look right at your baby, but here's my number. So call me.
Or Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
Featuring I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo, I'm so fancy. Can't you taste this gold?
Okay. I'll never forget that summer, the Olympic team, I think it was the swim team, they actually made a video to Call Me Maybe on the plane, and it became kind of like a big thing.
I remember,
so that song was really, really
popular. I can add to that, because TMI has been around for so long that we actually had a sketch about Call Me Maybe. And the sketch is perfect because it was a PSA explaining how the song is actually a cautionary tale, because she admits right away, this might be a crazy thing to do, but I'm going to give some stranger my number. And you know what? It doesn't always work out well. I mean, it's a cautionary tale, but it's also got a really nice beat to it.
And those violins just work.
But on the other note, Fancy, I literally had to look at two or three different charts to make sure that this wasn't a mistake, because I know the song, but I never thought of it as being a hit.
I'll also point out, because Danny mentioned Glee earlier, I think it was either the second or the third season premiere of Glee, like their first song, because they said the song of the summer was Call Me Maybe, and then they did it around the cafeteria in a very well choreographed thing, which never happened at my high school, but still, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's vote. Who votes for Call Me Maybe? Oh, wow. Okay, so sorry,
except
Chris.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Call Me Maybe is one of those songs that white people put out just to annoy black people. That's 100%. It's fact.
You're welcome.
I love it.
It's 100%.
What else is on that list, Chris?
Yeah, what other songs is that?
Oh, Chris, if only that was the limits of our annoyance to the black people.
if only that was.
We'll get to them. Katy Perry's been on it twice, so that's for sure to annoy black people.
Be a bracket battle in the future, Chris.
That's a good bracket.
Come up with like songs that you know.
Okay.
I think that's what we'll do.
I will totally do that.
Oh my
okay,
goodness,
so
hilarious.
The next one is We Belong Together by Mariah Carey.
You left, I lost a part of me. It's still so hard to believe. Come back, baby, please, cause we belong together. Who else am I gonna leave knowing time?
Or Old Town Road by Lil Nas X.
And I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
That song is trash.
How dare you, sir?
Wait,
to be fair, that song I think was made to piss off white people. I think that's what I wanted to get back.
No, it wasn't, because it has Billy Ray Cyrus on it.
Yeah.
No, dude, it pissed them off. It was white people up in arms.
A gay black cowboy. What the?
Yeah, they was.
But he balanced it out with Billy Ray Cyrus, so it's not to piss off white people.
That made him no. That pissed them off even more, the fact that Billy Ray Cyrus was on it.
Yeah, because that made them listen to it. They felt
they
got tricked.
Yeah, they got tricked, bruh.
The Who Votes for We Belong Together by Mariah Carey.
Elizabeth, Peter,
you and Mariah.
Old Town Road or Mariah?
For Mariah.
So two for Old Town Road. So Mariah moves on. We Belong Together.
What?
You know, and Mariah could have been on here twice, but she was one of the artists that had the longest song at number one in the summer in 1990. But it wasn't the biggest selling song in the summer. Vision of Love was on the charts for the longest during the summer of 1990. But it was not the biggest selling single of the summer.
I would have thought Fantasy, because when I hear Fantasy, I think summer for sure.
Yeah, no, you would have thought
the video
it.
Too. It's yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going back to Usher featuring or 2009's I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night.
No, I just want to say
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
The Black Eyed Peas song came on in a restaurant one time, and it was all the auto-tune stuff, and it was so repetitive. I thought I'd been listening to the song for 10 minutes and started to fucking lose my mind. Like, Mouths of Madness, like, where am I? What is happening? Why is this song playing? What, I don't know who I am anymore. And then it finally stopped.
Agreed. Will I am and I share a rabbi. Not a fan.
But how many spelling bees and eighth grade proms did people come out to that fucking horrible song?
Yeah,
it's been used for every like debate night with fucking I Got a Feeling. It is for every lame event you play that song right before it starts. And I can never go with that song.
Yeah, they even play it before.
Now, Chris, counterpoint.
Go for it.
No. You always disagree.
And on the other note,
defend the Black Eyed Peas now.
When the song came out, and most of you are old enough to remember this, it might have been the biggest hit of any of these songs for the period of time that it was a hit, because that song was on like 24 hours a day everywhere. You know,
and to be honest with you, that song came out in the spring, because when the song came out, I actually used it for the talent show that year and had kindergarten students dancing to it.
That's inappropriate, Danny.
It had to have been
number one during the summer month. From
Memorial
Day to sometime after that.
It could have easily been the number one song of the spring and the number one song of the summer.
Yeah, that's how big a song it was.
Oh, wait. Stuart says Chrissy Leibowitz gave him a hand job at a bar mitzvah.
But you have haven't lived until you've been in a room with a bunch of in a summer camp, a sleepaway Jewish camp in sixth grade, with a room, everybody's dancing in the room, and the Black Eyed Peas song "I've Got a Feeling" comes on, and then that part where they say "L'chaim," oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
Everybody went nuts. It's looking back, it's one of the most ridiculous things.
It's the worst song.
I'm voting for it anyway. It's just such a part of my summers as a child.
Okay, guys, so let's vote so we can finish the second call. Okay, "Yeah" by Usher. Who votes for that? Okay.
Yeah.
And so, Stuart, I'm sorry, but "I Got a Feeling" does not move on.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, low key, you're right though, because like I went to a Black Eyed Peas concert, and they definitely were playing that song before the concert started to like get people in the mood.
like the dog show that comes on before it starts. It's like every lame thing that you could think of, you hear that song first.
It's almost a warning.
They play it before Dodger games.
It's like, and I'm going to say something that people are going to go, "Oh, that sounds really racist," but it's like cities that put a Malcolm X billboard that basically says white people don't come here. Like that's what it means. It means the same thing. You hear that song? You hear that song? You know, turn the channel really quickly.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, we have "Party Rock Anthem." Sorry, the "Party Rock Anthem" by LMFAO.
"And we gon' make you lose your mind. Everybody just have a good time."
For Umbrella.
When the sunshine will shine together, told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be your friend. Took a note that I'm sticking out till the end.
Okay, so who votes for the "Party Rock Anthem"?
Also, Veronica, I commend you on playing it slightly muffled, the "Party Rock Anthem," so it sounds like you're hearing it through a dorm room wall.
I didn't even realize that this was that big a song. Like, I knew it was a popular song, but again,
it was everywhere.
It was huge.
It came out in 2011.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was that big. Umbrella was such a good song that people forgot that she was actually saying "umbrella," because it's clearly not umbrella that she's saying.
Okay, so
let's
"Party Rock Anthem."
Put your fucking hand
down. You goddamn contrarian.
It's a fun song. I mean, it is a fun
song. Why do you choose the wrong take every time?
But other options are Rihanna, so
"Umbrella" moves on.
Yes.
Okay. The last ones in the second column, "Genie in a Bottle," Christina Aguilera.
"You wanna be with me, baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a genie in a bottle, you gotta love me the right way. If you wanna be with me, I can..."
Or "One Dance" by Drake featuring Wizkid and Kyla.
"I need a one dance, got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go, higher powers taking a hold on me.
Baby, I like you so."
Okay, who votes for "Genie in a Bottle"? Who votes for "One Dance"?
What year did "Genie in a Bottle" come out?
99.
So. Yeah, I did not have a bat mitzvah, but that was my formative 13th year. So
see, I got to tell you, that around that time, the late 90s was a bad time to be a guy in his like early 30s, because there were so many hot 15 and 16 year old singers out at that time. And you're looking at like her and Britney Spears, and there's Jessica Simpson, and there's all these girls that look really, really good and are so completely underage. But what was interesting was that first couple of years,
like a creepy older
they
man.
Didn't make them look.
You know, your wife is in this.
No, but I'm saying, but they didn't.
He's right. He's totally right.
Yeah, and what was hotter was they didn't make them look dirty their first album out. I mean, like Britney Spears a little bit. But that made it even dirtier, because they were kind of just normal teenage girls that were hot. So it was weird. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Junior Ball is a great song.
It was also a terrible time to be a teenage girl, if I'm going to be honest. Okay.
Yeah, because you got that as your, your standard.
Is there ever?
You have like more of a fighting chance now, kind of, but not at that time.
And we're down to week 16.
Okay, now we're down to the final. Yeah.
I understand that they're still monsters to each other.
Wait, did we vote? I didn't know if we voted.
Yeah, we voted, and Drake won.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Now it's between Baby Got Back or Despacito. Who voted for Baby Got Back?
Wait, what was the other choice?
Despacito.
Despacito.
Oh.
Oh, wait, you're voting for Baby Got Back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Despacito.
You want Despacito there, okay? Y'all barely wanted it there. Don't act like it.
That's the best song ever.
That's a great song. Okay. That's the Way Love Goes or Step by Step.
Look, I'm not getting divorced over this, but I'm going with That's the Way Love Goes on this.
No, you know what? It's Janet Jackson. I love Janet.
Yeah.
That's the Way Love Goes.
That's the Way Love Goes. Okay, who votes for Step by Step? Just out of curiosity. Oh, wait.
Oh, is that right? Oh, is that weird? It's weird.
That's weird.
That's crazy.
You know, Veronica, if you'd put Hanging Tough out there, you might have had me.
Really?
You're right, stuff.
Yeah, you would have had me with the right stuff.
You're right, stuff, yeah. Even Please Don't Go Girl.
Oh, yeah.
You throw a little Joey at me.
Or Single. Single would have been good, too.
Oh, that's a great... Single. That's a great song. Yeah. Okay.
Chris Buxel, thank you, OTB. Chris Buxel, thank you, OTB.
Okay, the next two, Waterfalls or Crazy in Love? Who votes for Waterfalls? Wow. Crazy in Love moves on.
Yeah.
It was that summer, that cruise, I'm telling you.
That was a summer.
One magical cruise. Sold around Waterfalls.
Hey. Mazel tov on the double-digit number for your pina coladas.
Yeah. I've got a lot of talents. Okay, the next two. It's between Bad Blood or Promiscuous. Who votes for Bad Blood?
I still like Taylor. Like
you know, that's songs. The thing. Now we're going down by actual summer song. Like, what a music
vote for Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado. Yeah.
Okay. I did a contrarian vote just because I knew.
I'm going Bad Blood.
Wait, so Promiscuous is moving on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still moving on.
All right. Next two, Hot in Here, Her, or Everything I Do It For You. Oh, vote for Nelly.
Hot in Here, yeah.
I know.
Okay. And Her.
Cameron remains faithful.
Record the vote.
I don't want to make Chris cringe anymore.
I mean, if Bryan Adams had done Everything I Do,
you know what? The fact that he's even in this conversation right now at this point really upsets me. I just like he got
not
here.
Just a vote for the song; it's a
he
vote.
He had the highest selling song of the summer of '91. And
I don't give a fuck. I mean, he's still trash. Hey, if you think Katy Perry's trash, I can think Bryan Adams is trash. He's trash, B.
I mean, the best part of Robin Hood, Prince
Again,
of Thieves.
A lot of summer songs are trash. That's why they're summer songs.
That's My Wife, Crow. That's my favorite part of that movie.
That's not true. Drake doesn't have trash songs.
Lady Marmalade or Call Me Maybe? Ooh. Who votes for Lady Marmalade? Who votes for Call Me Maybe?
Those violins just get me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking violins. Did you not see the video of Lady Marmalade? They were all beautiful.
Should we give us her number out? I'm telling you.
Okay, the next two. It's between We Belong Together or Yeah. So who votes for We Belong Together?
Yeah, because that's summer love. Yeah.
Oh. Stop it, Candace. Yeah. Stop it. You put your hand down.
I mean, I prefer Mariah, but I can't deny the truth.
These are my confessions.
Elizabeth, why do you speak as if you were on the fucking witness stand?
You're serious, Chris. No one saw me get sworn in under oath before we started.
Yeah, you did.
Here we are.
You just took your head off the Bible.
You should let it burn.
Okay, so the last two in that column, it's Umbrella versus One Dance. Who votes for Umbrella?
Umbrella. Come on. Umbrella. That's what I'm voting for.
Sorry, Chris.
I know.
Okay, guys, so now we're down to the final eight. Pete, are you all caught up?
I'm all caught up.
Okay, cool. Let's move on then. Okay, so the next two, between Baby Got Back or That's the Way Love Goes.
Oh, Janet. Who votes
for Baby Got Back? Who votes for That's the Way Love Goes? Four. So Janet moves on.
Damn right she does.
Like a moth to a flame.
Yeah.
Okay. The next two, Crazy in Love or Promiscuous?
Ew.
Who votes for Crazy in Love? As much as I hate, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Promiscuous.
It was good, though.
It's a good song, but
yeah.
Crazy in Love is just that song.
Crazy in Love moves on. Okay, the next two, Hot in Hair.
Look, just be glad no one made me read this.
Hot and her.
Hot and her and Umbrella. Come on, get away.
Her and Chris made fun of me for that. So it's hot in her or call me Nelly. Who votes for Nelly's song?
I got it.
There's got to be a reason it's hot. It's because it's summer.
That's right. Okay,
but
so
Call Me Maybe.
Knocked out Call Me Maybe. So now
we son of a bitch.
Shouldn't be there in the first place.
And the last two for the final four, Yeah or Umbrella. Who votes for Yeah? Mm. Ooh, who votes for Umbrella?
Umbrella.
I thought Yeah was going to the end.
I thought it should be going to the end.
So Umbrella is making it to the final.
Chris, do you think Little John still finds time every day to skeet, skeet, skeet?
He's doing a lot of those tokens. Yeah, that's his thing.
He's doing EDM now. He's skeeting all day.
He's got those NFTs. Like you pay like $60, you get a thing where he goes, yeah! I swear he does. And then there's another one with him holding a glass and he goes like this. Yeah!
Jesus. How many of these do you own?
I just happen to know he has them.
Okay, all of them, Cameron. He has all of them.
It's like they tell him, okay, John, could you just, that could be a question? Okay. Yeah?
Okay. That's the way love goes versus crazy in love.
Ooh.
That's the way love goes.
Yeah, y'all did this.
You got to beat the best to win.
Y'all did this.
Who votes for crazy in love?
You're crazy in love?
Yeah. Yeah. What? So crazy in love?
That is a banger.
Yeah. Yeah. Debate.
It's a summer banger.
There is no debate between those two songs.
So last, for the final, final second spot, we have that Nelly song.
It's
that
the grammar songs.
On her.
That one or Umbrella. So who votes for Nelly?
Yeah, that's more classic.
Okay, So Hot in Her. Okay, guys, so we're down to the final two for the best summer song ever.
This is so exciting.
It's between Crazy in Love and Hot in Her by Nelly. Who votes for Crazy in Love? Who votes for Nelly?
Thanks for having my back, Cameron. It's just you and me. Hold down the fort.
Winner.
Left behind her.
Crazy Love is good, but if you play Nelly, everybody at the party is going to flip out.
Yeah.
Easily. Oh. Everybody at the party.
All right. And thanks to ranked choice voting, looks like Andrew Yang is the best summer song ever.
All right. Well, we did our final bracket of both. Well, we're going to be doing more brackets in the future. But so congratulations to Nelly. Okay, so before we go tonight, we wanted to take a moment to look back at TMI Daily. We started the show back on March 25th, 2020, one week after Los Angeles went into full lockdown. Originally, we thought that doing the show would give us all a sense of communal place to meet while we were stuck at home for just a few weeks. As the weeks turned into months, we realized that TMI Daily wasn't just a place to talk amongst ourselves. It was also quickly becoming a document of the times we were living in. 292 shows later, we are ending the show as it is. Tonight is the last show that will be called TMI Daily. We realize now that people are able to start resuming their lives, and there is no reason for us to be coming to you 5 days a week. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going anywhere. We will be back towards the end of August, twice a week, with the same people and same topics, and hopefully some surprises as well, and we'll be doing it under a brand new name. It's kind of like New Coke, but without a crappy taste. We will be announcing the name change in a few weeks. We hope that when we return, you'll be there to greet us, because as much fun as it is to talk to each other, it's been a real pleasure and an honor to talk to all of you. Thank you for being there with us for these past crazy 16 months.
And there is I just, before we go, I just wanted to say one thing really quickly.
Hold on, I didn't finish.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, there's no one we'd rather have spent it with. So that I wanted to say that.
Sorry, okay. I should have.
You really
I wanted to say that I looked.
Pete, anything else you want to add?
it's really interesting because I looked at a year ago today what we were doing, and a year ago today, five of us that are on the screen right now were also in that show. The only two people who weren't on that show were Danny and Cameron. And Danny just hadn't started doing the show, and Cameron probably was busy with something that day, but he'd been on the show a bunch of times prior to that. And so, you know, like people talk about how flaky people out in LA are all the time, but for the last 16 months, I turn on the Zoom connection at around 5:40, not knowing who's going to show up or if anybody's going to show up. And somehow or another, we've never had a day where there wasn't at least four or five people on screen. And that goes to like just what dedicated and really good people do this. And you know, and I always say this at the end of when we do our theater show at the end of the year, I always say that it's because of all of you that my life is better than it would have been. And I feel that way about you guys now, because the last 15 months, I would have never been able to like just be in the house all the time by myself if I didn't have you guys to talk to. And I love that I know so much more about you than I did when we got started, even you, Stuart. So thank you very much for being a part of this. And I'm looking forward to what we're going to be doing in the future and what we'll do with this show in the future, because I think there's so many great possibilities. So thank you again to everybody.
And I don't know if anybody wants to add anything else before we sign off. So
we missed one thing that you can listen to during the summer, and that's episodes of this podcast. And also, show me what you've been missing.
Show me what I've been missing.
Show me what I've been
missing. Got it wrong. Huh?
That's okay. No,
it's still number one on my Netflix, okay? Yeah. Hosted by the talented Elizabeth and Chris.
We are also on a break, though.
We are. We're not going to. Yeah, that's true.
But you know what, though?
It's still cool. It's still cool because they can catch up. Yeah.
Plenty to listen
to. There's like, what, 25 episodes to listen to. So, you know,
yeah, 26.
Yeah, so you got some time.
I hate us at the same time.
Well, see, not 296, but it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is our show for tonight. We'll see you back sometime in late August. Until then, enjoy the summer and please stay safe. Bye, everyone. Have a good night.
Wear sunscreen.
Get vaccinated.